Good afternoon and welcome to the Mesa City Council study session for December the 8th, 2015. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Finter, who will not be with us tonight, and Councilmember Richens, who is running late. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's formal council meeting upstairs. We looked at this on Thursday, so I think we're all pretty familiar with it. Most everything is on the consent agenda, but let's just make sure that everyone is clear. Yes,
Just 3C. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes.
I just want to announce that the new Steak and Stone restaurant at Falconville has its own smoker for meats and specializes in steaks at dinner. And so they'll actually cook it right next to your table. So that's pretty cool. And it's at the former Anzio's Landing. So
great. And do you have some coupons you'd like to pass out?
That's a good idea. Maybe they need to get some coupons.
Okay. Great.
So thank you, Mayor.
Well, I'll look forward, as a former fan of Anzio's Landing, excellent. I will look forward to going to the new restaurant there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we'll keep that on the consent agenda.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Council? The rest of item 3 are liquor license applications. 4 is action on some purchase contracts. Five are various resolutions. Six are ordinances related to zoning cases, and 7 are subdivision plats related to zoning cases. It's probably good to note that we took agenda item 8A off of the consent agenda so we could learn more about the dedication of the Charles Lester building, and I think Mike Hutchinson will be available upstairs to fill us in on that. Is that right, Carrie? Okay. So we'll look forward to hearing from Mr. Hutchinson.
Yes. Yeah, also, Mayor, just, you know, I modified the resolution really to make it look a little bit nicer, and also we have a commemorative resolution for you to sign tonight. So I have an extra copy if you want to look at it, or if any council members want to look at it. So the one that's actually attached, I wanted to make it look a little bit nicer. The same information, actually, we put a little more information into it, but it's the same substance of the dedication.
If I know Mr. Lester, he will actually read the resolution, so it's probably good to make it look good. That's right. Great. So, Council, any questions or concerns about the consent agenda? If not, the next item on our agenda is to hear a presentation and discuss a proposed youth sports complex by Visit Mesa. Mark Garcia, we're excited to have you here to learn more about this exciting idea. So please tell us what we need to know.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members. We certainly appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about a really exciting project for the City of Mesa. And joining me are some VIPs, people who share our vision for the city, and will tell you how and why, if we build this project, that they will come. On my right is Mr. Mark Thede, who is the board president for the Arizona Youth Soccer Association. To my left here is Matt Libber, who is a senior vice president with Elite Tournaments. He's flown in from Baltimore, Maryland today. And to his left, you all know, Dr. Steve Hogan, athletic director for Mesa Public Schools. Again, we appreciate the time. We'll try to move through this quickly. I know you'll want to hear more from these gentlemen than you will from me. You all know I've been talking about this for quite some time. And even before me, you've heard from your director of Parks and Recreation, Mark Hirschberg, talking about this. He understands the value for a project like this in the community. I've been talking about this because, well, it's the responsibility of a CEO of an organization that I run to do that. It's prudent upon me to ask questions and to advocate for a product and infrastructure that really moves the needle. How do we bring more visitors and their dollars to Mesa? How do we drive incremental tax growth for the city? And how do we do this knowing that we have a lot of competition? Just next door to us, we have Phoenix with a 1 million-square-foot convention center. How do we do this when you have dozens and dozens of 4- and 5-star hotel and resort product in Phoenix and in Scottsdale, each with 500, 600, 700-plus guest rooms, and each with 100, 200,000 square feet of meeting space? And then faced with cities like Glendale, who have the Coyotes and the Cardinals broadcasting to the world week after week. And then, of course, just next to us, you have Tempe with Arizona State University, a 60,000-plus student campus, which, oh, by the way, is in a Power 5 conference and televises games and all kinds of sports to the world each and every day. So how do we do this? And most importantly, how do we maintain our brand integrity and be consistent with our city's reputation as being family friendly? You do it through a project like this, a youth and amateur sports complex, where you're bringing in, instead of like we are now, dozens, maybe hundreds of visitors to the city each and every week, now you're bringing thousands, and in some weeks, tens of thousands of people to the city. And who are you bringing? You're bringing kids and their families. So that's what we wanted to talk about. We really didn't make any meaningful movement on this till about a year ago when we made a presentation to the Falcon Field Visioning Commission. And our presentation there was very well received, so much so, in fact, that almost immediately afterward, I was authorized by our board of directors at Visit Mesa to commission a feasibility study. And the selection committee from the board selected Nations Group, a local firm who has a lot of experience building and renovating projects like these all over the country. And so that's what we're going to show you here today. As part of that feasibility study, there was a lot of surveying and interview going on with potential user groups, with what we call national governing bodies, sports events, rights holders. In fact, we surveyed over 400 of them to help us get an idea for what the design elements might look like. What do they want to see? And the same is true specifically with some targeted, 23 of our really targeted top clients that we know we'd want to book and bring here. And so they'd help us develop the design elements for this facility. And I've shared with you all digitally a copy of that feasibility study. And in there, in the appendices, it shows what a full calendar year programming might look like. And we did it really responsibly, because we factored in a lot of things. There was a slippage rate of 50%, 65% slippage rate. We also factored in rest periods for the surface to make sure those fields were rested at a certain point. We also factored in two different periods of overseeding, and you really only need one. So we did it in a responsible manner. What does it look like? It's a 24 multipurpose field complex, 18 of which are natural grass, 6 are artificial. I haven't even talked about location yet. The Feasibility Nations Group looked at 3 different locations and ultimately, with the help of the City of Mesa, determined that the best location would be at the city-owned land they bought from the BLM years ago that's just adjacent to the Multi-Gen Center that you all know, southeast of the Red Mountain High School and right next door to the current Red Mountain Soccer Complex where there are 6 fields. So the idea is that we would repurpose those 6 additioning fields, overseed them, pitch them properly. Soccer fields aren't meant to be flat. You pitch them properly, potentially sandbase them, although Mr. Hirschberg suggests that that may not be the way to go in the future. But it's a dual stadium concept, 2 stadiums, 4,000 seats each, one of them being artificial field, the other being natural grass. It would come with a press box with viewing towers with the latest technology so that we can live stream games, which so many of these events look forward to. You know, Major League Soccer, for example, they love to film their athletes. If we were fortunate enough to get this and we had spring training, they would have access to that. And perhaps the most exciting element to this, or just as exciting, I know for many that we've talked to about this, is the 110,000 square foot field house that would come along with this, affording us the opportunity to go after all the indoor sports that we can't currently pursue. So the larger basketball tournaments and volleyball and cheer and gymnastics and wrestling and weightlifting and taekwondo, and the list goes on and on. So it's really exciting. So even during those summer months when perhaps you don't have field hockey or lacrosse or rugby using those fields, you have a lot of user groups that do indoor sports programming. Plus, it's a great programming for a local residents during the summer months. And if we build this roughly $54 to $57 million project, this is what we can reasonably expect in terms of return on the investment. 109,000 hotel room nights could be directly attributed to it. And it's basically, that comes from 100,000 new visitors to Mesa. These aren't local visitors. If you were to factor in local visitors from the local soccer club or local volleyball clubs that would use this facility, you're talking 800,000, 900,000, pushing 1 million visitors to the facility on an annual basis. 100,000 plus would be just from those overnight requiring hotel accommodations. And they represent about $98 million in annual economic impact. Then you see below what the annual transient lodging tax revenue would look like, as well as the annual transaction privilege tax, the TPT. And that's just the sales tax on that hotel consumption piece. That doesn't factor in all of the other visitor spending that we know goes on, whether it's at restaurants, at retail, or amusements. And so what we've done is we've hired Elliot Pollock and company. Maybe you know Rick Merritt and his team. We've commissioned them to kind of flush out that $98 million to show for the city, all of you and staff, how much of that $98 million is in the form of sales tax revenues and how much actually touches the city's general fund. So we're looking forward to that. We should have that report back in mid to late January. The feasibility study also showed what the construction impact would look like. Of course, Elliot Pollock and their team will vet these numbers out. But they did tell us, just looking on the surface, that this looks about right based upon their experience with similar projects. Year-round bookings. This is key. Again, I'm trying to move through this as quickly as possible, as you can hear from these folks. This is important because I may have mentioned this to you before individually. If you believe that building Sloan Park was important to Cubs here, and it was to keep the Cubs here, and it was important to keep the Cubs here because you thought it was good for tourism and for sales tax revenue, then you got to believe in this project because this offers year-round programming. Every single weekend, you're bringing in thousands, as I mentioned before, possibly tens of thousands of visitors. It could have a far greater impact than Sloan Park. I brought this slide to the table because it's sort of the elephant in the room. Mesa's been known as a baseball town for generations. And while I have made it clear that this is not a soccer complex, but rather a multi-purpose youth and amateur sports complex that would house field hockey and lacrosse and rugby and, again, all the indoor sports, as well as ultimate frisbee and canine events, so many different types of events that we could host. Soccer, unapologetically, would be the anchor for this. First of all, you build soccer fields at dimensions of 120 by 80, so all the other sports can fit into it. If you were to build, for example, American football fields here, soccer could never come here because it's not long enough, nor is it wide enough. So you want to build soccer fields as your anchor. And secondly, you have to look at the growth of the sport, and you have to look at the demographics of this country and how they're growing. The young adults and Hispanic population is growing, as outlined here. The Wall Street Journal noted that youth participation in soccer is double that of tackle football and larger than youth baseball by about 1 million participants. That's roughly 20,000 more people playing soccer in every state across the country than they are playing baseball. You look at MLS, Major League Soccer, that's the highest level of professional soccer in this country. They grow to 24 teams in 2017. And that's only because I issued this PowerPoint presentation to you on Thursday. On Sunday at MLS Cup, the commissioner, Don Garber, announced that they'll go to 28 teams with the announcement of David Beckham and the deal he was able to broker for his stadium in Miami. They'll now move to 28 teams by 2020. Soccer now, and this is according to a 2014 ESPN poll, soccer now trails only basketball in popularity among 12 to 17-year-olds. The same study also reported that professional soccer ranked as the number two sport after only professional football, after only the NFL. And the TV contracts and the corporate sponsorships are growing at an incredible rate. I played soccer growing up. I didn't have the opportunity to watch my favorite players or teams. As an American trying to watch the game, it was only on Spanish television, maybe a couple times a week. Kids these days get to follow their favorite team, whether it's MLS, whether it's the English Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga in Germany. They're on every single day and on all these different channels, whether it's ESPN, ABC, Fox Sports 1. They're just on a number of different channels and able to follow it. And that's going to fuel the growth for this game here locally and drive these revenues into this facility. Why it works here. The market's more affordable than our competitive set. Any of you have been to Las Vegas, for example, for any tournament, knows how expensive it is to be there. Those hotels have really racked up their rates. Mesa is more affordable than Phoenix and Scottsdale. You know, Reach 11 has their complex in North Phoenix, but their hotel rates are typically $20 to $25 more than ours are. And if you get into the seasonal months, you're looking third week into January through the end of March. Very often, it's far more than that. We have a great institutional knowledge. I've been booking youth and amateur sports for almost 20 years now. Many of you know Josh Todd on our staff, who's director of sports. He does a fantastic job. He's developed a fantastic reputation. So we know the clients. We're on the trade show circuit. We know these people. They will come. Competitive advantage over similar facilities, Reach 11. I booked this facility for many years while at Visit Phoenix. And it does have some challenges, that facility, because it sits on Federal Bureau of Reclamation land, BOR. You can't ticket for events. You can't charge for parking. So their pipeline, their funnel of potential business is at a much limited level. We wouldn't have such restrictions. We would be able to bring those NCAA events, NAI events, Major League Soccer that Reach 11 can't accommodate. Our climate is better generally. It's windy. It's colder in Las Vegas. It's colder in Sandy, Utah, where they have a large facility. The same is true with Dick's Sporting Goods Park outside of Denver, or the facility they have in Boise. Yes, they have these large facilities, but their window for booking business is much shorter, maybe 4 or 5 months. We have a strong presence in the region. Mark will tell you. AYSA is a 45,000 member based association, which makes it probably the largest, one of the largest associations in the state of Arizona, and it's growing at an incredible rate. We have the staff, we have the marketing infrastructure, and this, again, this allows us, a project like this, infrastructure like this, allows us to put a stake in the ground and authentically claim ourselves and our city as being one of the finest, if not the finest, youth and amateur sports destinations in the country. And so with that, we do have some pictures here for you. I think you've all seen these, but for the public here, what you're looking at is that's the 202, that shiny road on the top right. As it's made its bend, you'd probably get off at Brown to enter this facility. On the north end there, that is Brown. On the south end here is Adobe. The street on the right that flanks the east end of the project is 80th Street. There's 2,400 parking spaces. There's ample restrooms and concession areas. What you don't see on here, which would be just above the two stadium fields, so those two fields that have the white structures on it, that's where the 110,000 square foot field house would go. Again, six of these fields would be artificial surface, which allows for great local programming. A lot of the local soccer clubs and other sports would have access to the fields while not tearing up this tournament facility. And with that, here's a couple other pictures here, stadium perspective with some shading structures, and if the money's there, we'd probably want to put a misting system in as well. This gives you a look at what the entry to the stadium field, in this case, would be the natural grass facility. And then what it would look like if any of you have been to these large tournaments, parking can be a bear. And oftentimes it's prudent for families to drop off their kids at a staging area like this. There is locker rooms that will be located just underneath the two stadium fields. This is important. You know, we heard when I was in Phoenix, we had 13 of the Major League MLS teams here for spring training. And over time they left, and some of their deepest concerns were related to not having locker room space on site, not being able to do physio on site, having to get taped up and seeing the physio at the hotel before they came out. And this would certainly answer that need. It also talks of potential office space, and this would be more than likely at the field house. Gentlemen, Matt, would you like to start?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, thank you for having me here today. I flew across the country here today to support Mark in this endeavor. I operate events in 14 different states right now, operate 60 events throughout the year, so I see a lot of facilities. And working with Mark over the last couple of years, they're going about this the right way. They're looking at this as a true multi-purpose facility and not just a soccer facility. I know Mark talked a lot about soccer, but I also run field hockey events, lacrosse events. Lacrosse is actually the number one fastest growing sport in the United States, especially on the women's side. And a lot of facilities that are out there today, especially west of the Mississippi, are not built to handle lacrosse. They don't have proper netting. They don't have the equipment that's necessary. They've already put this in the plans. Building this facility would put Mesa well above the curve in the western side of the United States for lacrosse. And I think that's something you guys need to consider when lacrosse is such a growing sport. It's also the number one fastest sport growing for colleges. Women's lacrosse is the first sport that typically gets added to the college programming these days. You know, beyond that, you could look at sports like rugby. Rugby is also a huge growing entity in the United States. Building a grass facility is something that rugby wants. I think that looking at this from an economic standpoint, I can give you an example. If we, with a 26 or 24 field complex plus the six existing next to it, you're looking at 30 fields. If we maxed out that facility for a soccer event, that's about $2.1 million in economic impact from a single weekend. If you extrapolate that over the year, I mean, you're paying back the cost of the facility pretty quickly. You look at Overland Park, Kansas, for years that's been the pediment or the pedestal for soccer facilities in the U.S. They currently only have 12 fields. they've sell out that facility every weekend. They're to the point now they're discussing bulldozing the golf course next to it to add fields. So the need is there in the United States. So looking at building a facility of this size and this magnitude and this scope is what's needed, especially in a community like this. I don't want to take all the time, so.
Mark?
Sure, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. I just want to give you a very brief overview of the, what we're talking about for numbers on the local side, Maricopa County, and specifically Phoenix, the greater Phoenix area. Our registrations for Arizona Youth Soccer Association from 2008 to '09 to the present day have increased by roughly 51%. So we have grown from 28,000 to a little over 43,000 in that time span. In that same time span, club-sponsored tournaments, which is defined as being a club as a member of our organization hosting a tournament in which they bring other teams from certainly the surrounding area, but also out of state and out of city. Those have more than doubled in that same time span. So the growth in terms of just the sheer raw numbers has been extraordinary. Unfortunately, the number of fields has remained the exact same. There's been absolutely no growth in the number of fields, certainly accessible by our organization, our members. And to give you just a brief idea for the city of Mesa, for membership for our organization, it's actually quite small. And we attribute that to a lack of proper fields. We have an application, a couple applications in from the city of, or from groups in the city of Mesa to become members of our organization to establish clubs for next year. Those will be discussed after the first of the year. And assuming that the at least one of them goes through, which I'm almost certain it will, I anticipate that the membership just from City of Mesa registered players will increase by 160%. So just those numbers alone, the growth is phenomenal. Thank you.
Would you like to talk just quickly about some of the events that you drive?
Oh, sure. As our organization, in addition to the club tournaments, there are approximately 34, 35 club-sponsored tournaments, of which I want to say roughly 26, 20 to 28 are in the Phoenix area. The two largest tournaments in the state are, one is held by the Scottsdale Soccer Club, and the other is by Legacy, which is based in Chandler. They are both at their limits for fields. I mean, to give you an idea of what they bring in, the Legacy Santan Holiday Classic, 402 teams this past year. That's a year ago. Their tournament's scheduled to take place a week from now. I anticipate that number to be larger, but they're hamstrung by the number of fields that they can operate. So,
Dr. Hogan?
Good evening. Good to see a lot of you again. A few years ago, I sat before you and we talked about the aquatics programs and putting in the swimming pool. Some of you were at the grassroots of that. Councilman Luna and I swimming at the old Poston pool and discussing. So the beauty about these types of programs or this project is very similar to the swimming pools. The community benefits, all of the local kids, local families, community benefits from it. You look at the aquatics, we bring in the national, we've had the national masters, national synchronized swimming. We have the Grand Prix, ESPN is covering events here. It's great PR. We are definitely on the map in Mesa as an aquatics community because of building these things. And again, it benefits Mesa in so many ways. So you have economic advantages, but again, it benefits our high school kids. It benefits our youth kids. At the same time, it's generating economic impact. So following that, we have a high school state swim meet is held at our events or at our aquatics. This would be the same type of thing here. So if you feel that the aquatics building Keno and Skyline has been a benefit, this is follows that same, you know, same template.
Thank you. I know the agenda is tight, Mayor, Councilman.
Yes.
We appreciate the opportunity. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. It's a great project, and I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we have a lot on our agenda. But still, Council, please feel free to ask some questions if you I'm sure we have a lot of questions. We might not make them through all of them. Mr.
I also, thank you, Mayor. I also want to acknowledge David Hines. He's back there. He's the executive. Why don't you stand up? He's the executive director, assistant executive director for Arizona Interscholastics. So thank you for being here. And he, I know AIA is very supportive of this project as a as am I. Thank
you. The veterans. Thank you.
And I guess I had a question, and I guess it's the $54 million question. Is that what it was going to cost? Is that the
It depends on what the funding mechanism looks like, but $54 million to as much as $57 million, for example, if you were to bond it, because there's some fees that are associated with it.
And I love the concept. I think it's a great concept. My concern is with Mesa being the only one with the skin in the game, and you talked a little bit about Sloan Park earlier, and I think the difference between Sloan Park and this is that the Cubs had skin in the game. They were part of, you know, they paid a portion of Sloan Park as well. So there's no appetite really for them to want to up and leave because they do have skin in the game by several million. And, you know, with this, it's the building of the fields are totally upon our citizens. And other than the tax revenues generated off of it, there's very little that it does for our citizens. Not to mention the O&M part, and, which is something that we're going to have to talk about eventually as well, because right now we can't afford to maintain parks, build new parks that we already have bond dollars for, because we don't have the general funds to maintain those parks. You know, I know in the past we talked about doing a bed tax or something of that sort. And, you know, if this is completely a self-sustained project, 100% in, you know, you got my vote. But until we can solidify this, find out who the players are, find out if there's others that are willing to put some stake in, you know, some skin in the game and step up, you know, I too would also like to look at this more, not necessarily as a park and rec type facility, but more of an economic development opportunity. Because I think one of the things that this can do for us is drive our economic development, whether it's restaurants and hotels and different things like that. So I think there's still a lot of homework that needs to be done before I'm truly comfortable with it. But, you know, the big piece that the big hurdle for me to get over really is the O&M, the ongoing O&M cost, where that's coming from. And how this really serves our citizens, since we're asking them to front $54 million.
Thank you. Mr. Richens.
Do we have that number, approximate O&M plus debt service, if we were to do something like this? What's the...
Well, the capital cost, I believe, is north, a little north of 50.
Right.
The operational cost, and there's been some discussions about that. The question becomes is, what's the gap between the revenues that it would generate on site, the fees and concessions, versus the actual cost of maintaining it? And that's a number that we're working on that I think ranges from $500,000 to $800,000, something like that. So, but listen, these are all very,
it's closer than I thought it was.
Yeah. So it's those are estimates that we have right now.
The other question I think I had, Mayor, was, do all these fields need to be on in one place to get the same economic impact? Is that the, you know, and then what's the evidence that supports that? I mean, can we do 12 fields in one part of town, another 12 fields in another part of town, and kind of spread the love a little bit? You know, I look at that, you have a neighborhood on the east side of 80th Street, and it'll be very interesting to hear what they have to say about this size of facility being put next door to them. Does it have to all be in one place?
Yeah, Mayor, Councilman Richens, I think that's best answered by an event organizer.
As an event operator, ideally I would like a single site. There's a couple of reasons for that. For logistically, it helps the event run more smooth. If you have to shuttle people across the city to play games, it becomes an obstacle. I also run events that are college showcase events, which are designed to be recruiting elements for kids that are looking to college. College coaches don't want to drive across town to see games here and then games there. And it causes obstacles where if you have a facility, like you can go to Las Vegas and you can play everything at one site, or you can come to Mesa and you are going to be split between two multiple sites, more than likely that team's going to go to the single site because it's easier for them as well. It cuts down on transportation costs. It cuts down on how far they're having to travel or time between games. It allows them to do more while they're in the city itself. So ideally for the city itself, it's also more beneficial because if they're not having to worry about traveling site to site. That means they're going to your stores and shopping, or they're going to your restaurants and eating, and they're not just eating at the concession stand at the site.
So if I heard you right, I think they'll fly across country to watch the game, but they won't drive across town to watch individual players. Is that what I'm hearing?
It is. It sounds strange, but it really is the reality of it. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've seen some strange things, but that really is the mentality of a lot of the parents that are out there.
Okay. Yeah, just to add to that, it's cost prohibitive usually for the event organizers to have split campuses, and in some cases I've seen them where it's not just two campuses but three and four campuses. Mm-hmm. It's more cumbersome to run the event. And frankly, you have competition out there. You have other, as Matt mentioned, there are places in Las Vegas, in Boise, in Colorado that have these larger campuses, and that's where they will go.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. We're running out of time, so Mr. Vice Mayor, please wrap it up for us.
Well, just a brief comment. I think it's a very promising project. I'm very pleased that you engaged Mr. Pollack to do the work because in all my years on council, he continues to have some of the best credibility on analyzing projects like this. We don't get funny numbers from him. You get real numbers. And I think that will be a big asset for us to look at in terms of the feasibility of the program, the potential revenues, where they'll be allocated, as well as some of the O&M costs. So I think you're doing all the right steps. And so I look forward to continuing the discussions. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Let me invite you back right now for January after you get Mr. Pollack's report. So on a Thursday morning where we don't have the time constraints that we have today so that we can give this all the attention and discussion that it deserves. Another question. I know this is BLM property. There's not that the city owns, but there's not a lot of things we can do on BLM property, right? What could we do on this property besides this?
Well, it would be based on recreational purposes, so okay. We can't. But we can't go redevelop it with private uses. So it's
got to be used for something like this.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We appreciate it. We look forward to hearing back from you in January. I need to apologize right now to the folks that are here on agenda item 2B, an update on the veterans homelessness issue. I apologize. Again, this is another issue that we need to schedule for a Thursday morning so that we can have the time and attention that it deserves. With my apologies, we're going to reschedule this. I know we're also planning on hopefully having a celebration later this month to acknowledge the great progress that has been made. We appreciate Councilmember Thompson and Glover for leading us in this effort. And there's a great number that we're going to be able to announce as far as veterans that we've helped get into housing this year. So we'll do a little tease there. And please look forward to more information on this topic later this month. And again, I apologize for not being able to hear more from you. The reason I'm rushing is we do have another agenda item we need to dismiss. To go to a study session, an executive session, excuse me. So is there a motion to recess the study session to go into an executive session?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We will go have an executive session, and then we will come back to this room before we reconvene upstairs. Thank you. Okay, thank you. We are back after the e-session. I would entertain a motion regarding agenda item 2C. I'm sorry. Yes, Mr.
I move that we open negotiations on this piece of property.
Okay. There's been a motion made to forward. To go forward with the to purchase on the property. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay, so that's a. I guess let's call.
Can I just give you one? Can we just one thing I wanted to make clear on is there? We discussed there's some concerns about the environmental.
Chris, can you just one minute? The clerk didn't get the vote, so I want the clerk to make sure. I don't think the vote was clear.
Okay, let's have a voice count on what the vote was. Mr. Luna,
aye.
You vote in favor.
Aye. Did the motion?
I am an aye.
Nay.
The motion's not right.
Yeah. Okay, so the motion fails to pass. It's 3-3.
I move the table.
Motion to table.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
I didn't get your vote, Mr. Thompson. Nay. Okay. Well, again, it's motion fails. So we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is to acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Next is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Council, any reports? Hearing none, agenda item 6 is schedule of meetings and general information. Mr. Brady, what do we need to know about our schedule?
Just quickly, Mayor, Vice Mayor Kavanaugh's pancake breakfast is this Saturday at Fire Station 207 from 8 to noon. So we invite everyone to come and bring a toy that will be collected for the patient at Cardin Children's Medical Center. Also, that later that day, we'll have the Falcon Field ribbon cutting, and that will be from 11 to 1 p.m. That's for the new terminal building. And, of course, Mary Main Street continues on through the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Entertain a motion to adjourn at this point.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye. We will reconvene upstairs for the next meeting.